Welcome to Worldwide Wonderful Women, a podcast for your living in divine power when yours is diminished. A podcast where encouragers receive encouragement. We understand these are hard times. You may find that it is becoming more of a challenge for you to remain strong as you give of yourself continuously. That's why this is the place to join other women globally who face the same challenges as you. So join us regularly to receive biblical insight, not to faint, but to stand strong. This is the podcast to be rejuvenated and revitalized. Now, let's join our host, Paula Harris.
Hello, this is episode number 2. My name is Paula Harris, and I am the director of Transformed Worldwide Ministries, who sponsors this podcast. The title of this episode is Faithfully Following When Your Family is Fractured. There are 4 episodes to this topic, and I am trusting that you will enjoy each one.
All right, well, ladies, I'm so thankful to be able to be here with you this morning. We know that our topic is faithfully following when your family is fractured. I didn't know my oldest son was going to be here taking pictures, but he's here. But if you were in our family and you were at our gatherings, especially with my other 2 sons, they would always say that Andre and I go at each other because we're similar or alike. And yet, we have an understanding. We have an understanding with each other. We can pluck each other's feathers off and then hug each other the next minute. Just praise God. He and I, see, you shouldn't have showed up, but anyway. It was funny because earlier this year, we really got into it. But it's something how God brings healing. And I wanted to share with you this cute little thing. He just went on a trip and came back, and it just expressed to me how much he loved me. And I love him just as much as I love my hubby and the rest of them. But I love you, Andre. And since we're here talking about our children, it's just really neat. I want to share with you things that I wish someone would have shared with me. I wish I had had a woman who would have come alongside of me and told me, Paula, you're out of line. Paula, you're in the flesh. Paula, I wouldn't do it that way. Paula, this is the way that I think God would have you to operate in wisdom in that area. So today, I'm going to pour out on you whatever the Lord would have me to pour out on you, in that I've done a lot of studying, a lot of preparation for months. And I didn't want to teach this topic, but the Lord wouldn't let me get away from it. And so I'm here in submission unto him, because I know there's a lot of hurting people here, and I know you have a lot of different situations, but I am trusting that whatever flows out of my mouth will be of the Spirit, because he will condense what needs to be covered today. The one thing I want to say to you is this: your family is different from the woman sitting next to you. It is of no use for you to compare your family with that woman's family or anyone else, because each one of you are unique. Each household is unique. I'm going to give you some general instruction today that I really believe will break the chains off your life. But you have to get on your knees before God, and you have to ask him, how does that specifically apply to me and my family? He has promised that if we ask for wisdom in the book of James, he will give it to us liberally and abradeth not. He'll just give it to us. What kind of God would we serve if we went to him asking for wisdom and he's like, no, I'm not going to give you any today. No. If you need wisdom, he will give it to you. And so it is so important for us to go to him and to trust him. In our sessions today, in session 1, we're going to deal with ourselves. It is important that we take care of ourselves first, and you'll see what I mean by that. In the second session, we're going to deal with our son and daughters. We're going to deal with him and her. In the third session, we will deal with life. Just what happens as we're trying to deal with our sons and daughters, and maybe something happens with our spouses, with our ex, maybe with someone else who is having more influence on our child at that time. So we're going to get into some heavy topics, even in regard to when your child doesn't want to have anything to do with you. We're going to deal with that today. So it is important right now for you to realize certain things. I kept going over and over. And I was like, Lord, what do I keep and what do I throw out? And what I want to do right now is to just read to you some history that I found out. And it is a foundation for the other things that I'm going to share today. So don't let your mind wander, because the enemy would love for you not to take this in. I'm going to share with you where we are historically and then where we are spiritually, so that you know how to fight the good fight. So what you need to realize first off is that family, you know that, the family structure is different right now. And that so many things have happened that are affecting how you parent today. So I want to give you some historical facts, and then I want to share with you some spiritual. While there are many things we can be thankful for in the 20th century regarding our children, please listen, there has been a shift toward blaming the parents for the problems of the child. This shift in perspective radically changed parenting advice given in books, magazines, TV shows, and society overall. This parenting advice radically changed parents by eroding confidence in their own ideas about parenting and encouraging them to listen to medical and psychological experts. Now, here are two examples of this domineering mindset. Number one, children come into this world as blank slates to be molded by their parents and others. Another idea that comes with this, the success or failures of their children lay solely in the parents' hands. Now, with the exceptions of the Quakers and the Native Americans, strategies that relied on guilt, shame, or pain dominated the American parenting attitudes and kept the children in line for the most part. And now, you remember those days when most of the time you wouldn't do something, because you did not want the neighbor to tell your mom and dad and you get in trouble, or you didn't want to bring shame to them. Well, during the 20th century, these gradually gave way to approaches that emphasized negotiating with children to help them understand their behavior and motivation. So parents began demanding that the school act in a more cooperative way to protect the self-esteem of the children. So grades began to be adjusted so that D's became C's, and so on, that children's self-esteem would be protected. Do you remember seeing this gradual change? Instead of one valedictorian, there were many. In sports, at the end of the season, all the kids got trophies, whether they were on the losing team or winning team. This was all in an effort to protect the children from feeling insecure, discouraged, or damaged. Parents began to increasingly worry that they were not doing enough to develop and protect their children's self-esteem. Parents today obsess over the slightest error that they make and worry that they may have damaged their child's life by a comment made in anger or maybe in exhaustion. Many parents worry over the academics from preschool to college, concerned about the ever-shrinking opportunities for employment. Today's parents feel guilty for working, for putting their children through a divorce, for having too little time or too little money to spend on their children. We could go on and on with that one. What causes guilt? Because of the ongoing fears, too many parents put all their energy into the children, and they let their own lives and their marriages fall by the wayside. Some parents of newborns are afraid to leave their children with a babysitter, worried that they may be kidnapped, molested, or violently shaken. And if such a thing would happen, these parents would never forgive themselves. A radical shift has taken place where the children have increased power in the home and the parents have increased guilt. The reason is that they view their children as fragile. So now children are put in a position to judge, reject, and shame their parents in ways unheard of before in history. Even Christian parents are confused regarding the proper use of authority and setting boundaries with their children. So not only are parents worried about the dangers of their children within the home, they are just as scared of them being away or outside of the home. So parents and children find themselves barricaded in the home. And a lot more families now have lesser children than what there were before previously. So here they are, barricaded in the home, with parents becoming more responsible for entertaining their children. In many homes, parents have stopped requiring chores to be done in order to make time for entertainment and leisure. This becomes another area whereby the children can judge their parents. So often you hear, "I'm bored, I'm bored," and it ends up being an expression of a parent's inadequacy to provide. So now children judge the parents according to how well they provide and will determine from that if the parent is deserving of their love and respect. So now, when they get older, they can blame the parent for how they turned out. In the United States, $15 billion a year is spent on marketing to children. And children see numerous commercials a day. Half of all children between the ages of 7 and 16 have cell phones. And 25% of two-year-olds have television sets in their bedrooms. Children between the age of 4 and 12 spent 400% more in 2002 than they did in 1989. So guilt-ridden parents who take responsibility for their children's outcome are the norm today. Furthermore, parents judge themselves in comparison to what other parents are doing with their children. So whether they can afford the vacation or not, they don't want their children to be deprived, so they go broke to provide the vacation or the college training or the job training so that their children are not left behind. Many parents feel the pressure from their children's perspective that they are being deprived of what they are entitled to. There is a guilt if their children are not on equal footing with their peers. This is a major reversal. In prior generations, the children were expected to earn the parents' love and respect. Today, parents are worried. Not only are they concerned that they won't have the children's love and respect, but that they're not enough, not sensitive enough, not there enough, not fun enough. I mean, we could keep going on. They're worried, often correctly, that their real or imagined mistakes in parenting will come back one day to haunt them. Mostly all of us want to see our children succeed. In generations prior to the 20th century, the inability of an adult child to develop a successful life was seen more as a character flaw in the child than as a result of inadequate child rearing on the part of the parent. Today's change in responsibility makes parents suffer under the weight of two burdens, the burden of sorrow for their child and the burden of guilt and shame for being inadequate as parents. Since no parent is perfect and does everything right all the time, in today's society, a responsible parent is a worried, guilt-ridden parent. There's been a shift, and we need to be aware of it. We as Christians are in the world, but we're not of it. And the thing is that we need to know the battleground whereby we are on. We have got to understand today, with all the information that God would have me pour into you, is that we fight not with natural weapons, but with spiritual weapons to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have got to be able to understand the difference between the world and how they fight and how they operate, and the difference between us as children of God, who really, this is not our home. We're just passing through. But we've got to keep that in mind when we're parenting. Another thing is, we've got to be concerned. You know, let me just share this scripture right here with you. This is one whereby we have moved far away from. It's in Deuteronomy. It says, suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son. Now, evidently, they did have rebellious children back then. So feel good about that. Okay, way back in the Old Testament, they had rebellious children. Now, suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and mother, even though they discipline him. In such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. The parents must say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey." But then not only that, he's a glutton and a drunkard. Okay, now let's go on. Then all the men of the town must stone him to death. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. Now, if we practice that today, do you think we would have this conference today? We wouldn't even be here. Now, the thing is, that's from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. That was the New Living Translation. The reason why is that in the Bible? Because of what is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. The Lord wanted to purge it out from among his people. So if you had a rebellious child, they would take him out and stone him. We've moved far from that today, haven't we? Very far. Well, this is what you have to understand. I gave you the historical setting of where we are in our society, but now you have to understand the spiritual side.
I trust that you have been encouraged up to this point. Now, to continue this lesson, please go to the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Worldwide Wonderful Women. We trust you enjoyed the program. Please take a moment to leave us a good rating and review on iTunes to help us continually encourage others around the globe. We also invite you to go to twmforjesus.org. That's TWM, like in Mary, FORJESUS.org, to download your free gift and see other resources to help you live in divine power. And oh, don't forget to tell your friends. Until next time, be strong and of good courage.